This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity once again. You're going to listen to a man that he had evil plans one day for Christian world, for Jewish world, and for black world, actually, to deceive them with his friends in Iran and to finish Christianity in the world and establish Islam. But by the grace of the Lord Jesus, he was changed fully. And now he is speaking for the glory of the Lord. I'm going to speak brief on my testimony to you this morning. But just before that, let me introduce my two books and my DVD testimony is there, 70 minutes, 7-0. And also my book, The Difference is the Sun, compares Islam with Christianity in all dimensions of life. There are many verses of the Quran, that's Islamic scripture, in this book, compares why, what is the difference? The difference is the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know Islam. You need to know Islam because your country is a country it's attacked more by Islam. And there are many evil planned by committed Muslim and radical Muslim for your country. If you do not know Islam, you'll not be able to deal with it appropriately. Christ above all gods, it's rather a simple Christian philosophy, Christian apologetics, compares Christ with all five other gods in other religions, major religions. It speaks about the superiority of Christ and his values, and it's just written for Christians to be able to answer the questions of other religions and other philosophies. It's a book of questions and responses. They are not political questions or social questions. They are the questions of hearts in order to challenge other people. We need to do that. Christianity has lost its power, really, its power of dialogue. Bible is the book of reason. God says, come on, reason to one another. And it's the God of reason. We need to have really answered the questions of people. And because we are not able, that's why really other religions and philosophies are taking over in Western countries. My books are there, plenty of them. Please buy them, read them, and give to other people. And let them to understand really what Christianity is and what is Islam. Now I've got photos to show you. They speak more than me, which is good. This is the country Iran. I have come from this section, from the northern part of Iran, very similar to your town, to your city. This is a country also has part in the Bible. It's the old Persia. Prophet Daniel's tomb is here. Esther's tomb is here. She was the queen of Persia. I was born in a Muslim family, and my father had two wives, 12 children. They picked me up among 12 children and devoted me for religious work. From childhood, they discovered that I was very good in learning. And so they invested in my life, hoping that in the future that this family would have a good religious boy and bring pride to the family. But I discouraged them. I'm a good religious boy for Jesus now. From the age of 9, I became a famous boy. I was able to recite the Quran in Arabic. And that made me famous, and people called me from the age of 9. I took my Quran and went to the different religious ceremonies, in order to recite the Quran for them, especially over their dead people, because they believe that if you recite the Quran over dead people, then you can send them from hell to heaven. That they pay you money. If they do not pay you money, blessing doesn't go to the dead person. From childhood, we learned also that Christians and Jews are unclean people. Next one, please. These are the verses of the Quran. You see, they are unclean people. They are worst of beasts. They are animals. And they go to hell. Only Muslims are the best that God has created ever since their creation of mankind. So these things teach you a lot. We learned from childhood that they are unclean. You should not touch them. If you touch them, you have to wash yourself in a religious way in order to purify yourself. If you give them a glass of water, you know that Middle Eastern people are very hospitable people. Well, that's not from Islam. That's from their culture. Islam is a new religion, 1400 years old, but their culture thousands of years old. Anyway, Islam says, if you give them a glass of water, do not bring the glass inside the building. You make all the building unclean, then you need to purify the building, which is so expensive. So leave the glass outside. This is the Saudi Arabian cultural values that was exported to other countries, and sadly, it's practice. You know, Saudi Arabia does not let really the airplanes to cross the air of Mecca. They think there might be a Jew or a Christian inside the airplane. They pollute the air of the holy city. So with this mindset, you don't want to become a Christian. The word Christian is a swear word, like Jew. Two Muslims fight with each other. They say to each other, Jew or son of Jew, or Christian or son of Christian. God has brought us from that situation into His kingdom. And that's why we are so grateful. The name of Jesus is so, so much important in our heart. We have, you know, stories with Jesus. I have dreams and visions with Jesus even since I was a young lad. They all show, you know, to me that He had a plan for me for today, for these days. Some of them made me actually angry in those times because there were the word Christianity in my dreams. My first story started with Jesus while I was in year 7, in grade 7 in school. I was 12 years old. One day we were playing in the playground of our school. It was our sport time. We 7 boys in our group got together trying to find a game and play with each other. One of the boys said, I know a game. He took a paper from his notebook, divided in 7, because we were 7 boys. He went in a corner, wrote something inside each, folded them, then rolled them, and then he came to us and mixed them very well. And he said, this is the game. Each one of us going to take one and open in turn. The things written inside each is our future, he said. So we each took one. And then we were, you know, fighting in a friendly way with each other. Who should be the first or second or third or last one? Some of us trying to be the last one, but I succeeded. I was the last one. I was the 7th one, opened mine. We were in year 7, 7 boys. I was the 7th one. The first one opened, there was written, you'll become a teacher in the future. Well, we jumped and clubbed, you know, showed excitement, you know, to make our time fun with each other. The second one, you'll become a doctor. The other one, you'll become a governor. You know, the other one, army officer or engineer, something like that. At the end, I opened mine. There was written, you'll become a Christian. No excitement anymore. I was embarrassed because I was more religious than them, and I became angry, and I attacked that boy, because if someone embarrasses you in the Middle East, you have to attack. You do not apologize for your, you know, shortfalling or for your mistake. So I caught the boy. I said, I'm going to kill you. And he was crying. Other friends come and said to me, come on, we are praying. We are playing here. I said, no, I'm going to kill him. And he said to me, did I write that for you? You saw that I mixed them very well. I took before you. I could have taken that. It's your problem. It's your future. Don't blame me. He was right. He didn't put it in my hand. I took it. For that reason, I didn't kill him. But I did not play with them anymore. And I went and found a quiet place and cried there, concerned a lot, and complained to God, you embarrassed me in front of this boy. I'm more religious than them. Why did you do that to me? So that was my first story. You know, from grade 9 till I believed in Jesus, it is 16 years. Every night I had this dream. Every night. I was flying in the sky, and there was a voice always saying to me, don't look at the ground, you will fall and die. Look to heaven, you will live forever. After 16 years in another country, in Turkey, for the first time I went to the church. This was the first thing I heard from a Christian who saw me desperate, so painful. It's a Turkish idiom. He exactly in Turkish said to me, that's it. The saying says, don't look at this world ground. You will fall and die. Look to heaven. You will live forever. For 16 years. It amazed me. Anyway, I finished my high school. Next one, please. And I followed this man. Apparently a simple man, but in his heart so hostile. Hated Christians and Jews. We have to, if you read his books and writings, he says we need to finish Christianity. No single Jew should exist in the world. Well, Prophet Muhammad said, the Muslim's prophet, he said, the last day will not come unless all Jews are finished. No Jew in the world. So we followed him, and under his leadership, we overthrew the king, because king was the friend of America. That was not good. And we captured the country, started to rule the country by Islamic law. We were so excited. We were the followers of this man, because he was in France, and he said to millions of Iranians, when I come, you will have freedom and democracy. This is the way all committed Muslims speak. But when they get to the power, they put freedom under their knees, because freedom and Islam do not match each other. Why they lie to you? Because lying in the Quran is legitimate for the sake of Allah and Islam. You can lie, even you can rape for the sake of Islam. For the sake of Islam, it should be done. Why you do that? Because you just bring that girl into your house, becomes your wife, you produce Muslims. So he lied to people, but we didn't know. We were so excited in that time. We were radical Muslim. Radical Muslim doesn't mean you know Islam. You just blindly follow the leader. That's Islam. So excited. I was a famous boy. Next one, please. This is me here. I was initially invited to start the Revolutionary Army in Iran. One of the goals of the Revolutionary Army was to capture Israel, to go and kill all the Jews and capture that land, because it's the land belongs to Islamic world, they believe. To do that, we started Hezbollah in Lebanon. We needed the branch of army in a nearby country. So we chose Lebanon. Hezbollah was started by Iranian army. It belongs to Iran. It's crazy, if, you know, that a country has come, established this army in another country. It's capturing that country, going to capture Israel, and United Nations is just so quiet, you know. It's, you see that, you know, the freedom, really, they speak about it. It has a different, really, definition for them anyway. So That was our goal, you know, to capture Israel. Next one, please. Then after that, I was involved with preparing our young boys and girls for our second major goal. Our second major goal was to destroy America. This is me here. Why America? Why we need to destroy and needed to destroy America? Because America is a superpower Christian country in the world. Islam should be superpower. Islam is the only universal religion, they believe. And also America has millions of Jews in that country. They support Israel. American Christians also, many of them, they stand behind Israel. So this is the great Satan, an evil country for us, we said. We need to destroy this country. If we destroy this country, then Israel is ours. Then we can also capture other countries in the world. Because America is helping many countries in the world. For that reason, we took many young boys and girls to the army camp and taught them terroristic techniques and suicide bombing techniques in order to send them in the future to America and to other Western countries and to destroy them from inside. Because Islam means to frighten other people. If they are afraid, they say, look, I'm going to be Muslim. Don't frighten me anymore. So fear is the overriding force in Islam. Next one, please. This is my wife. She was also a radical Muslim, zealous to fight for the cause of Islam. I haven't brought her today here. Don't be afraid. Just she was a fiery girl, really. She drew my attention. She said, wow, she's ready to die. I'm ready to die. So we better get really together. So for that reason, we got together and we got married. Next one, please. This is our marriage day. It's in the mosque. Middle Eastern people do not hold their marriage in the mosque. What we did, we wanted to teach some significant lesson to our followers. Mosque is so important. First of all, mosque is a garrison for Muslims. They learn how to hate other people in the mosque. They prepare themselves in the mosque to fight against other people. The second important thing is that involves actually non-Islamic countries. According to Islam, if you build a mosque in a country, after the building of that country, mosque in that country belongs to Islamic world, not to the non-Muslim who live in that country anymore. So if there is one mosque in America, that means America is not yours. It belongs to Islamic world. Well, I'm not here to scare you. If you're the follower of Jesus Christ, you put the fear under your staff. Because fear doesn't work in Jesus. If you claim for this country and present this country to heaven, he's so kind. He accepts that. He's so nice. But that's Islam. You know, it just goes everywhere to capture the country. I was actually teaching in Nayak 2 years ago. They said to me they are building a mosque on the top of the, you know, mountain that A.B. Simpson committed that land to the Lord. I asked them, is there any Muslim in this area? They said, we haven't heard really. I said, well, I know that. They just want to stamp over the land. And this is really the mindset of Islam to go to other countries, just stamp over them. The Quran actually is so harsher than that. It says, even you haven't put your step in a land, it's yours. So we held our marriage in the mosque just to teach our followers the significance of mosque. You know, this is our marriage day. Do you see any smile on their faces? No. And I encourage you to read the Quran, really. It's in the website. You can download that. If you do not have time, you even search for the words. You know, slaughtering, killing, bashing your wife, locking your wife until she dies in the room. All of them are in the Quran. You need to really read them. And then you can understand whether this religion is a religion of peace or not. Or at least if you're too busy, read my book. Because there are a lot of verses in it. So for that reason, we didn't smile in front of our followers. Actually, we were teaching them how to hate. There is a subject called angry subject. I was the teacher of that subject. how to become angry, how to hate, and you gradually teach them how to cut, because it's not easy for them to cut the head of people. Next one, please. This is my, after our marriage, my first daughter, older daughter there. She's 5.5 years old. That's why she is not covered like my wife. You cover your daughters from the age of 7, because the age of 7 is the age of marriage in Islam. Prophet of Islam was 49 and he had a wife 6 years old. And this girl's died in early age, really. She died while she was 19. His daughter died while she was 19 because they were all given to marriage while they were babies. Next one, please. This is me. You have one. As a Muslim, you should have beard because shaving is illegal. I was a leader here. I was the leader of the political party in the northern part of Iran. A politician announced my candidacy for Islamic parliament. I actually won. They didn't let me to go to the parliament. I will say to you why. I was an opposition to the leader this time. Now, opposition to leader means you have to die. In the Quran, chapter 8, chapter 33, they all say you should not criticize leader or Islam. If you do that, your fingertips should be chopped and then your head. Well, why are you chopping my fingers? Just chop my head. They say, no, you have to suffer. The oppositions of Islam should suffer. So we were opposition. That was dangerous. We said to leader, we need a little bit freedom. So we started our own political party, and Iranian people loved it. Iranian people really are the most free Muslim among all Muslims in the world. Because of their culture, you know that still Darius and Cyrus, they are still logos in their culture, great men. And they love really to have freedom. They love to be Muslim, but free Muslims, which doesn't make sense really. But, I mean, that's their attitude. So they voted in our favor, we won the government. One of my colleagues became the president with 98% of people's vote. Almost 100%. And the leader, grand leader, 2%. In 1 year he lost. But committed Muslim never accept loss. We are always, you know, winners, they say. So what they do, they try to destroy you to be winners. And also in Islam, two parties do not work, just only should be one party. It's the Quranic verse, the party of Allah must triumph. The problem is every party thinks that only that party is the party of Allah. Now what will happen with others? You have to destroy others. That's why Sunnis and Shiites, they kill each other. It's not new, it's for 1400 years they've been killing each other, slaughtering each other, because one does not believe the other one is Muslim. So that happened to us. Leader started in secret with his friend to kill the members of government and eventually openly, and the president of the country escaped. He's a refugee in France now, and some of us were killed, some escaped, and some of us were caught. I was one of them caught and put in a death cell waiting in the death row. It was a toilet, actually. They kept me in a toilet for 3 months. Not a nice toilet you have here like this. Very ugly one, but that was okay. But the pain in prison is so huge. It's so huge. Especially for ladies and girls. Because when you become opposition, according to Quran, you become a slave. And if you're a slave, then sexually you belong to them. They rape you anytime they want. And, you know, there in Iranian law, Islamic law, you cannot kill a virgin girl. That's sin. You have to sleep with her and then kill her. And then you take the dress of that girl to her mother. That's a religious obligation. You go and knock the door. Somebody comes and says, I want to talk to the mother of this girl. And you say to her mother, I slept with your daughter. We killed her. And this is the dress of your daughter. Because you have to frighten everybody. Everybody must be afraid. You know, these mothers are not Jewish mothers and Christian mothers. They are Muslim mothers. Islam is a cruel religion to Muslims too. But sadly, they don't know that. That's why we need to learn and help them, really. And that's my life is because of that. Some Westerners, Americans, and others learned, and they came and touched my heart. So that's the prison I'm talking about. It's so painful. You beg them to kill you. They do not. They kill you times and times every day. There is a delight for them to give pain to other people. So that's the prison. I got my death sentence. From there, I was moved to another state, another prison, waiting in the death row with four other friends. All four were killed, and I am here for the glory of the one who spared my life. I didn't know him, but he had a plan for me. It's a long story. I can't enter there, because if I enter there, you have to sit 1.5 hours extra here. I escaped from Iran to Turkey. In Turkey, I was a painful man. I didn't know really my future. My family was not there. I started to learn the language to make myself busy. I entered the university. In the second year, I found a fellow Iranian man in Turkey. He had a business there. We became friends. And then he invited me to put my money with his money, make the capital larger to make more money. I did. But he didn't give me, you know, longer time. Just after 1 month, he took all my money and he escaped to Germany. Another pain came to my life. I didn't have any pain. This one also came to my life. I couldn't do anything really, because everything in the company was under his name, registered in his name. I just simply trusted him and put my money there. Couldn't prove it. International police was not able to help me. What can I do? Well, I decided to go to the church he was going there. He was not a Christian, he was a Muslim, but he was going sometimes to an evangelical church there. And I said to myself, hey, what if I go to that church and ask about him and they possibly give me some ideas? For the first time in my life, I was going to a church. It was scary, because church is situated in a very radical Islamic area. And he said to me before that sometimes they come and give hard time to church. And I was afraid if a committed Muslim come there, they find me there, or they kill them and kill me too. So that's not good. That's it. But anyway, my money encouraged me to go. I entered the church. I was shocked. They were playing music. Music? Music is evil in Islam. Middle Eastern people are very musical people. Islam was not able to erase that from their lives. But musicians know they should not take even their musical instrument to walk in front of the mosque, you know. What about to play it inside the mosque? So that was not good for me. I said, that's it. You know, we say Islam is better than Christianity. This is one reason. Well, why? I never thought about that. Why? I mean, why this music is evil? I never thought about that. We broke a lot of instruments from the beginning of revolution. That some of them were 1,000 years old. So precious. People cried like babies over their smashed instruments. We never thought about that. So they were all singing, praising God, standing. I said, I'm not going to stand with them. I sat behind everybody closer to the main door. I said, something is strange happened here. Is he to run out? Nothing happened there anyway. By the way, I'm a musician now. It's a good punishment of the Lord Jesus. You need to praise him with all your excitement. If you love someone so much, you express him with every good thing. That's my heart now. So they had invited a Turkish preacher. He was preaching in Turkish. Someone was translating into Persian for those Iranians who did not know the language. But I was hearing the message twice. It didn't work, by the way, because my mind was engaged with my business partner. I was killing him 100 times a day in my mind. I didn't have time to listen. After the fellowship, they saw a new person here. They came and welcomed me very warmly. I said their story to them. And they became so sad that I had lost the big money. It was about $25,000, huge money in the Middle East. And also a man whom they helped has taken my money and gone. They felt so sad, and they offered their help to me. They said, we can find him. We have many friends in Germany. We can write letters to them and ask them to search for him, to find him, and to beg him to give your money back. You have family here. They encouraged me to keep in touch with them. They said, if we get any response, then you're here. We can share that with you. Now, that frightened me, keep in touch with us. Because I was afraid to go once to the church. Now they are saying to me, keep in touch with us. I said to myself, look, I'm not going to come here anyway. But I went home. I said, if I'm not there, they think that I have given up, so they are not going to chase it. So that caused me to go to church every Sunday. I never missed any Sunday. Now, in the first weeks, I didn't listen to them. I said, look, I'm not going to put myself in problem. I am here, it's a problem. Hi, what if I listen to them? So I didn't listen to them. But these people were so nice people. They were sacrificially helping us. They shocked me. My goodness, we call these people animals. We call these people immoral. They call all Christian ladies whores because you're not covered in an Islamic way. And the most immoral people in the world, you know, they go to hell. They belong to hell. I was shocked. I said, is this really hell? This is so nice. These people are helping us sacrificially. You know, these people were so loving people, so nice people. You know, you're loving and nice people, but Americans do not know that. Many Americans do not know that you're nice people because you keep quiet. You do not speak to people. That's the problem. And I'm serious to you. I mean, I've spoken to many people. They think that Christians are the most ugliest people in the ugly people in the world. So anyway, they attracted my attention. I started to listen to them. Their story started from there. If you listen to Christians, if you listen to Jesus, your life gets changed. Their message was so powerful. One of them was, they said, we are saved. Our relationship with Satan is canceled. No hell anymore. We are with God. We are living with God. It was shocking to me. It was amazing to me. I said, now, Muslims believe that Christianity is imperfect religion. It's not a civilized religion. Islam is 600 years newer than Christianity. It's a civilized religion and came to perfect all the works of other religions. Jesus was not able to perfect his work. Muhammad came to perfect it. Now, my religion is perfect religion. My religion cannot save me. It hasn't taught me that I am saved here. You cannot be saved here. Only in the life after. But these people are saying that we are saved here. How? But the response was so powerful. They said to us, is your God mighty? Do you believe your God is mighty? Yeah. Every religion believes that God in that religion is mighty. Well, then can mighty God save you? Well, logically, yeah, he's mighty. He can do everything. He can save me. He can destroy Satan. Then why is he not destroying the work of Satan in your life here and saving you? Why? Oh, well, you know, this world is just a world in a place for testing, so he's testing us. He'll do that with us in the life after. Maybe. Not certain, maybe. Come on, he must save you here. If you really ask your friend, your mother, your father, please come and I need your help. Mom, please, would you please rush and come and help me? Yeah? Mom comes to you and said, yeah, I love to help you, darling, but not here, in the life after. It's ridiculous, really.
If your mother, your brother is ready to help you here, is God weaker than your mother? You're crying, God, I am a sinner. Sin is bothering me. Satan is bothering me. Please come and help me. He says to you, no, no, in the life after. Like Hinduism says, well, if you're a good person, in the life after you'll become a rich American. Or Islam, you may go to heaven in the life after. But it's Jesus here, just takes your hand. God says, I'm here for you. Just catch my hand. Come out. That was so powerful. I said, my goodness, yeah, they're right. If God is mighty and I'm crying for salvation, he must save me here. Must. If he doesn't save you here, you're crying. That means he's cooperating with Satan. If you do not help your child here, police comes and takes your child from you and says you're not a good mother. That was powerful. I said, wow, I love this. But I didn't say to them, I love it. Because they called Jesus as God, Jesus the Son of God. I didn't like them. Quran hates them. Muslims say Christians have made a man as God for themselves. They don't know. It's not a man-made God. It's God who made himself a man. This is a different philosophy. They don't know that. They said also Jesus is the Son of God. Quran says if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you have to be killed and you go to hell. Quran is Antichrist. I'm not saying that. Bible is saying that. Bible says if you do not believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're Antichrist. Quran says if you believe, you have to go to hell and you have to be killed. Culturally, it's scary even to stand beside these people. So I can't confirm that. Hi, but if I say to them, hey, your philosophy is so powerful, wonderful. I didn't say to them. They also spoke a lot about Jews. You know, open the Bible, read it, Jews, close it, Jews. I hated Jews. Sometimes I said to Allah, these people are so nice people, but they have some funny ideas. Please come and change them. I didn't know because of these funny ideas they were nice. And I was aiming really to change them. I said, these people are nice people. I am an educated person teaching philosophy in Iran. I know many things. They are going to get my money back. I have to pay back to them and open their eyes. But they opened my eyes. Glory to Jesus. God had taken me for something else. I had gone for my money, but he had taken me for something else. That was the greatest miracle for the first time happened in my life. I lost $25,000. It's good to lose for the Lord Jesus. And then I got a Bible, $7. It changed my life. One night I had a dream. I was in my father's house. There was an earthquake. The world was getting destroyed. Houses were destroyed. People died. People were crying. It's scary. I was terrified. I called upon God. I said, please help me. Why you're not helping me? Why you have left me alone? In that time, a light appeared to me and said to me, I'm Jesus. I will help you. Come out from your father's house. I rushed out my father's house, collapsed. I woke up. I saw that was a dream. It was the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep anymore. It was scary. I was afraid. You know, your house, your father's house means your entire family. What's going to happen to my family? So it worried me a lot. The following Sunday, I went to the church. I was shocked and amazed. A preacher was preaching there. The title of his message was The House on the Rock of Jesus. In his message, he said everything I had heard in my dream. Come out from your father's house. Live in the house that Jesus has built for you on the rock. Your father's house is built on sand. Everything can destroy that. It's the house of sin. It's the house of pain. If you do not come out from that house, you're going to have always pain in your life. Come and live in the house that nothing can destroy that, because it's the house of absolute joy, absolute freedom, absolute salvation, absolute peace, absolute love. Jesus, like eagle soaring on the high, is calling us, come to me. I will establish you on a higher ground. That's the ground of God. If you're established there, Satan cannot come there. That means you're saved. I was shocked. I said, am I seeing another dream here? Well, in that day, I became interested in reading their books. They gave me a New Testament. And by reading the New Testament, my life changed. The philosophy of Christ is an amazing philosophy. Doctrine of Christ is amazing, honestly. I didn't know that. I was teaching philosophy. I never knew that the philosophy in the Bible is different, philosophy of God to other God. I never knew that. I discovered the first thing amazed me in the Bible was God is a revealing God. He is personal. In philosophical language, means personal. Because he has personality, he can reveal himself to you. In all other religions, including Islam, gods are impersonal. Why? Because they never revealed themselves to their creatures. Allah never revealed himself to Muhammad. And so they adopted Greek philosophy, which is impersonal philosophy. God does not reveal himself. Now, if God does not reveal himself, then you cannot have him in your life. Then you're not saved. But God in the Bible is personal. It was really amazing. It was the yummiest philosophy for the first time. I was reading that. It was so delicious. You know why? Because impersonal God cannot create personal being. God of the personal being must be personal. That's why God says, I have image, I have created you in my image. I hope I am not speaking to you hard. Read my book. Honestly, it was so exciting. Because all Muslims are crying to have God in their life. But Islam says to them, no, not here, in the life after. But it's funny, I never thought about that. If God is impersonal here, he is impersonal in eternity too. In other words, he cannot reveal himself here, he will not be able to reveal himself eternally. I didn't know that. Bible opened my eyes. I was so excited. Some of the verses in the gospel just shaked me really. I put my Bible there, I said, oh my goodness. John chapter 1 was one of them. His word. Now, this is similar in all other religions. God is word. But the definition was different here. The word became? Why? Because he is personal. Why he revealed himself? To show his full glory. Why? Because when I see his full glory, I say, wow, he's so beautiful. I want to have him. He's the best. To establish his truth here, that was another amazing thing. Well, I'm not going to go into it. If you let me, I speak to you 4 hours. It's really, my life story is so powerful. It's just the Bible for me. I've spoken this 800 times. It just excites me. I was amazed. I said, wow, I can have God here. That was the first amazing thing. The second one shocked me was I was reading Paul's letters. You know, I love Paul so much. This is a wonderful man, really. Oh, this is a mighty man of God. He knows, he speaks wonderfully and touches the heart of people. He said in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 19, it says, one man brought sin to this world. Whereas in all other religions, God's brought sin to this world. In the Bible, God is not the creator of sin. But in Islam, Allah is the creator of sin. In Hinduism, Brahman is the creator of sin. Immediately, my conscience asked me, said to me, isn't creating sin sin itself? Yeah. So gods in all other religions are sinners. I said, oh my goodness, this is so simple. Why didn't I think about that? My conscience said to me, now, there are two kinds of gods. One creates sin, the other one does not. Which one do you like? The answer is simple. You see, we have key in our hands. We can touch the heart of people if we prepare ourselves. You know, I led 70 Muslims to Christ in Sydney. They were all those Muslims who stood in my comparative course till the end. One of them was a terrorist. He had come to kill me. And he wept. I touched his heart. So that's why I'm saying these things just excited me, really. I said, my goodness. If you're excited, if you're amazed, if you're touched really by the root of a value or a belief, you'll be amazed by the branches, because root feeds the branches. That's why Paul says, if the root is holy, so are the branches. I was able then to understand Christ. You have to love other people unconditionally. Love your enemy unconditionally. Why? Because only love brings your enemy to you and makes you brother and sister to other people. Isn't that nice? Now I am your brother. I hated you. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. He has brought me and now I am your brother. I love all nations. I love Jews. I love Muslims. I cry for Osama bin Laden. I pray for him. I say, Lord, change him. After you change him, he's going to be like Apostle Paul. Because Apostle Paul was a terrorist too. And I started to understand that I have to love my wife too. Love your wife? Your wife is a mute animal in Islam. She is not a humankind. You do not love animal. Well, you possibly do not understand me because you Americans love your animals too. I said, I'm going to give my heart to him. He's so good in everything. Wherever you put your finger, he's so nice. Love your God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, love your wife, love, love, love. So I gave my heart to him and he did other amazing things in my life. Next one, please. Brought my wife and children, they joined me in Turkey. God, in an amazing way, changed the life of my wife. She didn't know I was a Christian. I couldn't tell her. If I told her, she wouldn't come. She divorced me on the spot. She came. She was amazed. She discovered from the just first days I was playing with my children. I was singing. Singing? A radical Muslim sings? She asked me in the second week, what has happened to you? That brought tears into my eyes. I was not expecting her to ask me that. And I brought my Bible to her. I said to her, you remember that I was talking to you while you were in Iran? We were talking to each other. She asked me what I was doing. I said, nothing. I have found a friend. I couldn't have said this friend was Jesus. She actually made fun of me. She said, you're very clever in finding friends. You found one who took your money and escaped. I don't know what is this one going to do with you. You remember that? She said, yeah, I remember that. I said, that friend is Jesus. I have given my heart to him, and I'm going to love you after this. But that was a terrifying message to her. Love, you're going to be killed. They are going to kill me. Your children are going to be taken. That's called love. She was terrified. I was afraid she possibly would take the children and go back to Iran, but she didn't. The Lord Jesus kept her there. He listened to my cry. I love him so much. I love Jesus so much. Honestly, I'm saying to you. You know how many times I have said to him this in front of people? I love to say that always. I love him so much because I know him. He kept her there and she became interested in Christianity. She started to read the gospel, first in secret because she was a lady full of pride, didn't want to read the gospel in front of me. But eventually, you know, she had a dream after 2.5 months, and that dream also changed her life. She was walking with Jesus on a land. Eventually, they came to a steep valley, and there were some other ladies. They were all able to go, but she was not able. She was afraid. Jesus said, just take your first step. She took the first step. The valley was lifted up. All land became flat, and she walked to Jesus. That amazed me. I brought my Bible and read Isaiah to her. All valleys and mountains will become level. Why? Because mighty God is walking in front of you. You just need to trust the Lord. He's walking in front of you. It's so sad that Christians are afraid to take their steps. Political correctness, complacency, whole other things have scared you a lot. If you compare your life with your brothers and sisters in persecuting countries, you will be ashamed of your life. You will be embarrassed. I've been embarrassed so many times. Take your step. I was reading the passages to her. She started to weep. That was the morning she opened her heart to the Lord. A beautiful morning. She was crying. I was crying. That was the morning for the first time in my entire life with her. I called her honey. Our sweet Lord, our beautiful Lord brought us together. We did not get married because of our love to one another, because of dying for Islam. But he brought us together. He is so good, isn't he? Next one, please. That's their life. God changed them. God changed us. He's an amazing God. He changes. Please give yourself to him. Put him in the first priority. He is going to use you in an amazing way. America is waiting for you. America is crying for you, actually. You need to wake up and give yourself to Christ. And you are princes and princesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to live as princes and princesses of God. Please be encouraged of my testimony. And believe in Christ seriously. And take his faith serious in your life. And live for him and stand for him. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.